You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Millie.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday, and this is the Friday show. Yay! Happy Friday, everybody. We're the Raining Jays. I am John Corrales of MassLive.com, joined by Jay King of The Athletic. We are both beat writers covering the Celtics. So for you new listeners, this is a level of coverage that you're not going to get anywhere else. We're with the team every day at games, at practice, on the road. This is unparalleled Celtics coverage. How's that for an intro?
Two legends.
Two. Not one. Two legends in our own minds. Let's just dive into this. It's the entire theme of this Celtics team is what's wrong with the Celtics. You know, so we got Kyrie talking. We got Danny Ainge talking on the radio. We got Brad Stevens. Let's just dive into Danny Ainge was on the radio saying that Brad Stevens was the bottom rung of blame. Like, there's not much of all the things to blame. He is the least, the furthest from the biggest share of the blame. Jay, do you agree with that assessment?
I mean, it's hard to pinpoint exactly who deserves blame. Do I think Stevens has been perfect? No. Do I think any of the players have been perfect? No. Do I think that Ainge's decision to pretty publicly chase Anthony Davis and have that hanging over everybody has helped matters? No. So spread the blame. Everyone deserves blame.
It's true.
I mean, the fact that Ainge is getting questions about Stevens on the radio, the fact that Stevens is taking a little heat, I think most of it speaks to the expectations this team had and the fact that this team has not lived up to expectations. And I think that's on everybody, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, first of all, I think people need to chill. Like, everybody needs to relax. I put out a funny picture of Marcus Smart pointing to the other end of the court. Like, I don't even know why he was pointing down that way. But it was in the fourth quarter of the game against the Blazers. Jaylen Brown had gotten a rebound. He turned around and Marcus Smart just points. Like, go! And I thought it was funny. And people are tweeting back at me like, well, Jaylen's not yelling at Marcus. And, oh, no wonder nobody likes playing with each other. Like, Jesus, calm down, people. Like, it's okay to laugh and have some fun with these guys playing basketball. I think Brad Stevens gets the heat for because people don't like certain players. They don't like what Kyrie's doing. They don't like maybe Terry Rozier. They don't like Jaylen Brown, which you know very well. and when Brad Stevens doesn't do what people want, it's Brad Stevens' fault. And this is me telling people, like, Brad Stevens, not really blameless here, but I've been dealing with people who've been saying, well, Brad Stevens needs to do blah, blah, blah. And other people who say like the opposite, and both people are mad online about Brad Stevens not doing what they want him to do. I think is there any sort of lineup change? Jay, do you think there's any sort of lineup change? Like, what can Brad Stevens do differently here?
I think the thing you would think about the most is changing the starting lineup with Marcus Morris, or at least one of the things you think about now that he's not shooting well, certainly not shooting nearly what he was shooting like at the beginning of the season. I think that's something you got to look at. I think the rotation is something that needs to be looked at, tweaks. I'm not on the, like, just bench Terry Rozier train. I know some people out there are. The guy averaged 15-5-5 in the playoffs. He was good. You've got to keep trying to get him to play well and hope that one of these days it will happen. Because, honestly, depth should be a huge differentiator for this team. And the fact that it hasn't been is troubling, certainly. But all these guys are capable. Every single player on the roster, every single player in the rotation, at least, is capable. And so I'm not on the bench Terry Rozier train. I do think that one thing that probably got overlooked during the Portland game that was pretty interesting was, one, Brad Stevens went to the eight-man rotation without Rozier. He did not go to Wanamaker. He did not go to Ojeleye. And I think that was maybe a peek into, like, the playoff rotation curtain. And two, he dusted off the Erotic City lineup again.
Yeah.
And that before yesterday. Days seem long these days.
Before yesterday, that
group had only played together five times since the starting lineup was shelved. And so it was only 3 minutes. It wasn't a huge deal, but, you know, maybe that's something to look at over the next 20 games. See if those guys can play together, the Kyrie, Jalen, Tatum, Hayward, and Horford, because I do think that's still a really high ceiling lineup. And with Morris no longer shooting the bejesus out of the basketball, that's something you've got to look at reincorporating more often, I think, as the playoffs approach and then when the playoffs arrive.
Yeah, the key to that, and I agree, and I think what we're going to see is maybe a little bit of what we were talking about way back towards the beginning of the season. Now, I think the Celtics are fine with the starters. The starters that they have are starting games well, and I don't think they need to tweak that. I think the closing lineup of that Erotic City lineup, or however else you want to maybe mix it up a little bit, I think the closing lineup could use some work, and that's going to be an interesting kind of mix. And you know how it is with the playoffs. I mean, that's matchup based. So maybe Mook plays, maybe he doesn't, but I think really the key to that Erotic City lineup is Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward is, if he can be the guy that he was before the All-Star break, heading into the All-Star break, where the last five games he was at something like 17-5-5, that guy in that lineup can be a huge difference maker. Let's take a break, and we'll come back to talk more about Gordon Hayward and moving forward with what Kyrie was saying about the playoffs and how the Celtics will do in the playoffs. Reminder, if you've got a smart speaker or a smart device in your car, like your smartphone even, trigger the smart assistant and say, play podcast Locked On Celtics. Don't fumble for your phone. Pick up your phone, or don't pick up your phone. Just leave it there and say, whatever, what to wake it up. Play podcast Locked On Celtics. It'll do it for you. Very easy, and it works across the board. So do that. We'll be right back on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Before the break, I was talking about Gordon Hayward. Jay, Gordon Hayward has been struggling out of the break. Now, he missed the Milwaukee game, but he's been fairly no-show, at least offensively, in the last three games. And I think if Gordon Hayward had been playing the way he was playing before the break in any of those three games, maybe we're not having this podcast. Maybe we're talking about something else. I don't think it's his ankle that he sprained his right ankle. I think that's fine. I don't know what's going on, but what have you seen from Gordon Hayward over the past three games?
It's kind of like his season. He's just been up and down. When he rides the wave, he's been good. And when he makes jumpers, especially, he's been good. Sometimes I think when he misses jump shots, people just kind of think he didn't play well because he's not able to get to the rim, and he's not able to collect free throws like he used to. And so he's become more of a jump shooter, or solely a jump shooter, than he used to be. And so when he misses and he doesn't get many other opportunities, people kind of think, oh, Gordon didn't play well. Well, Gordon was doing most of the same things he usually does. He just didn't connect on some of his opportunities. Everybody has kind of shot badly lately. The Celtics have hit 11 three-pointers in their last two games, which is just obscene. Like, that is one of the most surprising stats to me of the entire season. The fact that this team, with all these shooters, could make 11 three-pointers over a span of two games is outrageous.
Jay, they're shooting like 19% since the All-Star break.
It's outrageous.
It's insanity.
It's outrageous. Like, that is truly an astounding stat. And it reminds you of the first 20 games of the season when they were just kind of lost, trying to figure things out, and didn't know what the heck was going on. And now they're back in it.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing, Jay, that I just don't understand. Like, I thought this level of figuring things out was gone. This very much feels like the first 20 games of the season, where they have just trouble in either the second or the third quarter or both, and they just stop playing and or not hustling enough, lack of focus. There's no, like, watching some of these games over the last couple of watching some of the replays over these last couple of games, you see guys just making silly mistakes, and I'm sick of calling individual people out, but you just see an obvious set play being run, and then one guy almost forgetting that a set play was being run and going a different direction. He's like, where's the focus? How can we come out of the All-Star break with this? Is supposed to be the clear your mind, get yourself right, come back and have a sense of purpose and a focus moving towards the goal of the playoffs. There's only 20 games left. I that's the part that I don't understand. If people are coming to this podcast for answers, this is the one unanswerable for me right now. Why the hell are we back in this spot? And is it just as simple as some of these guys can't handle missing shots? And when they start missing shots, that they get down on themselves? We've had this conversation over and over and over again at the beginning of the season. And we're back, Jay.
Yeah, it's kind of been a fragile team. It has been a fragile team. I don't know the exact reason for that. Obviously, there are a lot of tough guys on the team. There are a lot of guys who have proven that they are very competitive, and maybe that's going against them in some ways. You could see, especially in the Portland game, guys were pressing. And Brad Stevens pointed out in his post-game press conference, they were pressing. Marcus Smart took the excessively ambitious three-pointer that he called a dumbass shot. Kyrie got blocked a couple times trying to go to the hoop when nothing was there. Kyrie never gets blocked. Like, that's just not something that happens when things are going well. And I think he was trying to desperately to get them a win. And guys do that sometimes. And sometimes when you want so badly to snap out of a skid, you compound things by getting out of character. And that's kind of what the Celtics have been this season. It seems like they've never been comfortable with who they are and where they're going. Like, no matter how much success they had during streaks during the season, they always were like a couple losses away from thinking they were back in the muck. And now they're back in the muck. They are fully back in the muck. And well, I don't know. It's been a wild journey, because I still think they have potential to go on a deep playoff run. I still, like, they're still fourth in net rating. They're still, I think, fifth in defense. There's still a lot of indicators that suggest this team is capable, beyond the fact that they just have a lot of talent on their roster, and they should have guys that are super tough to match up with in the playoffs, whether it's Kyrie, who can score against anyone, or Al Horford, who's a brutal matchup for a lot of teams that they could play in the playoffs, or all the other guys they have that are capable two-way players. Like, this team should be built for the playoffs. It's just, can they get out of their own way and can they grow cohesive and resilient enough that when the playoffs arrive, that they're able to reach some level of their potential that they haven't really dusted off yet. Consistently.
Consistently. That's the key word. We're going to talk about the playoffs after the break. But first, I'm going to make a statement here, Jay. We're going to take a break. I'm going to get your reaction to this statement after the break. Because this team seems to be so fragile and in their own heads from time to time, it is on Brad Stevens to now take tighter control and do more to rein in these guys, whether it's via timeouts or whether it's via more set plays. We'll get the reaction. We'll discuss that right after the break here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Before the break, I set this up. Brad Stevens, I believe, needs to take tighter control of this team. That he likes to let these guys figure it out. This is supposed to be a read and react offense. This is supposed to be a big boy league and a big boy team. However, we've seen guys proving themselves that they can't handle some adversity. There's just a fact now, Jay, that they can't handle some of this adversity. Call it team-wide, individuals, whatever. So I think by calling certain set plays from time to time, taking a little tighter control, maybe making better use of his timeouts, not that I want to go down the whole timeout road, but just as a function of this, I think that that's something Brad Stevens can do. What do you think?
I mean, this is the NBA. These are grown men. Like, I don't think you got to have to baby anyone. I do think that sometimes a timeout thing could help, but someone told me, and I don't know how true this is, I've never read this study myself, someone told me that there are studies that show a timeout, calling a timeout, doesn't actually have an impact on what happens next. Now, I have no clue if that's true. I haven't actually read the study, but someone from another team told me that. I don't know. Brad, so here's my thing. Brad has always been about giving guys freedom, especially offensively. Like, he just wants you to make the right play. And if making the right play is too tough for you as a team, then what are you even doing here?
Yeah, but I get it, Jay. I get that. But we're here with 20 games left in the playoffs. Like, this is who they are. Like,
So what do you want him to do? Just like start yanking guys left and right?
No,
like, oh, you missed a guy in the corner, yank him.
Nope. It's not what I'm saying at all. I'm not about just benching guys for nothing or mistakes like that. It's counterproductive. I am saying that maybe from time to time, be a little bit more proactive with stopping play, stopping a run, getting guys refocused because they obviously need to be refocused, and getting a set play. We're going to run this play through to completion and just do it. And unless two guys are on the same page that says cut back door, I see you cutting back door. And like, I get it. It's the NBA, but it's obvious that some of these guys need a little bit more handholding in certain situations. And I hate to say it, but I think that's true. So I just want Brad to just take a little bit tighter control, calling certain plays, making sure that those plays are run to their completion, and just not letting guys reject plays like one action in. Like, that's all I'm saying.
But the whole point of having good offense is to have this option here, that option there, so that you're able to attack the defense at every point. Like,
I agree completely.
I don't know. So to me, like, at some point, the team needs to build trust. And maybe that comes once the playoffs arrive and everybody's able to throw their personal agendas out the door. Maybe it comes over these last 20 games. Maybe they can figure out some things about each other. Maybe they can finally put all the crap behind them. But to me, you got to build trust, and you need to trust somehow, some way. You need to be able to play through all this crap so that Brad doesn't need to call a timeout, or Brad doesn't need to baby guys and tell them we have to run this set for 19 seconds until we find this back door. I don't think in the NBA you can actually do that, and that it makes sense to do that.
I don't think you can do it for a full season, but when you have a fourth quarter where Jason Tatum doesn't get a shot, like sometimes you just got to say, run this play for Jason Tatum and get him a shot. Like that's just, for whatever reason, and I rewatched the fourth quarter, and there were opportunities for him to get his own shot, and he had a turnover, and some of the times it wasn't there. But I think that opportunity needs to exist. It needs to be forced sometimes because these guys need sometimes to get that little kick in the ass. All right, before we go, playoffs, 20 games away, mid-April, Kyrie Irving said, he keeps saying, I can't wait for the playoffs. Like last night, he was like, this BS, man, I'm basically saying, I'm done with the same questions, which I understand because he's the one guy that's always got to face the media after a game. It's some combination of two other guys and Kyrie, and he just gets hit with the same questions, and he is so clearly sick of it. He wants to focus on the playoffs. He wants to get to the playoffs. Do you think that these guys, once, like you said, personal agendas, can they put their personal agendas aside? Can we go into the weekend here with a little positive note and think, this team is still, despite all of its craziness, can still figure this out and still make a deep playoff run?
I think it's certainly possible. Like I said before, Kyrie is probably the best scorer in the Eastern Conference. Al Horford is a brutal matchup for every team they're going to play against. They are built with versatility, and versatility recently has been what sets teams apart in the playoffs. The Celtics, based on their roster, based on the guys at the top, they should be able to compete with anyone. And I don't know whether that means they'll beat some of these best teams in the East. Obviously, the Bucks have been a regular season juggernaut. Toronto is deep and talented. The Sixers have as good a starting five as anybody in the East. But, like, the pieces are there. And I do think that at this stage of the season, the Celtics may just need the playoffs. And we've seen other teams kind of flip the switch. But what's weird about this team has never won anything. Like, they made the Eastern Conference Finals, sure. They didn't reach the finals. They didn't win a championship. The fact that they've gone through this and kind of been this, like, flip the switch team all year is weird because, you know, Kyrie brought up the 2017 Cavs the other day. Well, the 2017 Cavs were coming off an NBA championship, and the 2017 Cavs had LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, three guys who had been to the finals two previous years in a row. Like, 2017 Cavs are not like the Celtics. The Celtics should have been hungry. They should have been desperate to prove themselves, but that's not the way the season has gone. And so maybe they just need the playoffs, man. Some teams do need the playoffs. Some teams, it's just a tough journey. And I do think the potential's still there. Like, you look in the East, they still have all the pieces to make a run. Kyrie is hell of a playoff performer. Al Horford, hell of a playoff performer. All these other guys, they've done it in the playoffs too. So
the difference,
I don't know what to think about this team anymore, man.
The difference between this Celtics team and the other teams that have coasted through regular seasons and had bad regular seasons and flipped the switch is that typically when we say flip the switch, it's a team that coasts, a team that just says, I'm disinterested with this. And they move forward. I don't think the Celtics have been disinterested with winning. I think the Celtics have been kind of selfish about how they go about these games. And that has led to certain problems throughout the season. And unlike past teams where we say flip the switch, which means now we're going to try, we're asking this Celtics team to say, now we're going to put our personal agenda behind us and we're going to play like a team. Like, and we've seen them do it. And when Kyrie stands there and says multiple times, I don't see anybody that can compete with us in a seven-game series, he's not wrong that, or not compete with us, that can beat us in a seven-game series. He's not wrong in believing that. And I can appreciate him trying to now shift his own narrative and make it seem or tell his teammates, I believe in us. I believe in this team. In a seven-game series, we can beat anybody. And that is very possible. It's very true for him. It's something that I would not be shocked about. Like, the way they're performing now, people might be, holy crap, I can't believe they're doing this. I can believe if they get to the conference finals or even the NBA finals, I would not be shocked by any of that. I also would not be shocked by a second-round exit. Like, that's how crazy this team has been. The only level of concern is, can these guys put their personal agendas aside and actually do what's necessary for the team to win? Isn't that really where we are right now?
That's about where the Celtics are, man. It's just been a strange journey so far. And I think at this point, just Kyrie taking the more optimistic route and saying we have enough is probably the way to go.
Yep.
Like, ripping apart guys at this point, stewing in all the losses, it's not going to do any good. Thinking about what the Celtics could be is probably the best for this team. So Kyrie's new pivot, I'm on board with it.
I like it. I like it too. I think it's good. So we'll see how that goes. Friday night is another opportunity for the Celtics to get out of this. They better against the Wizards. Like, come on now. Like, I can understand looking past Chicago. I can understand losing to Toronto, not the way they did it, and losing to Portland. There's no shame in losing to the Trailblazers. There is great shame in losing to the Wizards. That will not sit well. So hopefully, by the time we record our next podcast, the Celtics will have won at least one game, maybe two, because we'll record on Sunday after the Celtics take on the Houston Rockets. So that'll be the next show. We hope you've enjoyed this one. If you're a new listener, we hope you've enjoyed it enough to subscribe and come along on the ride. Follow us on Twitter. I'm RedsArmy_John. Jay is at by Jay King. Come interact with us. We're very much online, so you will find us there and we will talk to you. Do that. Regular subscribers, give us that 5-star rating, give us a good review, and share the podcast. Spread the word. Tell everybody, listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah. Corrales, Packard, and J. King.